Hey everyone, welcome back. We're diving deep into chapter 9 this week. It's called The Work and the Life, From Steps to Christ. I know the Living Word Prayer Group is really going to enjoy this one.
Yeah, this chapter is so powerful.
It really got me thinking, you know, about what it actually means to live a Christ-like life.
It's not just about like what's happening on the inside. It's about how that inner transformation, how that change spills over into, you know, real action, a real tangible impact on the world around you.
You know, it's like you could feel that shift in your heart, but then what do you do with that?
Yeah.
And that's what I love about this chapter.
Yeah, it dives into how that shift turns into action.
It's like your heart becomes so full, it just has to overflow.
And that overflow changes everything.
It changes how you interact with everyone around you.
And you know what's interesting?
What's that?
This chapter, it doesn't start by telling you to, you know, try harder to be good or do more good deeds.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it kind of throws a curveball.
Interesting.
It says that growth in your faith, it's a gift. It's not something you achieve through willpower.
So it's not about, like, checking things off a list.
No, not at all. It's more like a seed. You know, a seed being given everything it needs to sprout and grow.
I see. So we just need to be open to receiving what God is offering.
Exactly. That's the foundation.
And then from there, we can understand what it means to live a Christ-like life.
Exactly. The chapter uses this powerful analogy to illustrate this point. It compares our dependence on God to a plant's need for air, sunshine, and nutrients.
Oh, I love that. It's like those sunflowers that always turn towards the light, right?
That's a great way to put it.
Always seeking that source of life and strength.
Just like a sunflower instinctively turns towards the sun, we need to constantly be turning towards Christ.
We can't create our own spiritual growth. It's a gift.
Right. And what's really interesting is how the chapter connects this idea of receiving with the idea of action.
So it's not about just sitting back and soaking it all in.
No, it challenges that idea that a life rooted in Christ is passive.
It's not about just feeling good inside.
Right. It's about taking all that inner transformation and letting it fuel outward action.
This reminds me of something I heard once, that faith without action is like a car without gas.
Ooh, I like that.
It might look good, but it's not going anywhere.
That's a great analogy. And this action, it's not about earning your salvation that's already been given to you freely.
Right.
It's more like the natural overflow of a transformed heart.
It's about reflecting God's character in your actions.
That's it.
Okay, so it's less about checking off boxes.
Yeah.
And more about genuine change that comes from within. But, you know, I think a lot of people, myself included, we get tripped up on what those actions should actually look like.
That's a common struggle, for sure.
Like, what am I supposed to do?
Well, the chapter offers some insight into that. It debunks this myth that sharing God's love is only for certain, like, talented individuals.
You know what? I think we've all felt that at some point.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm no preacher.
Exactly.
Or I could never say the right words.
Yeah, the chapter beautifully addresses this. It uses the parable of the master giving each servant their own work.
Okay.
And it highlights that everyone, no matter who they are, no matter their background, they all have a part to play.
So it's not about natural abilities or position. It's about willingness.
That's it. Each of us brings something unique to the table. And this reminds me of the example of Jesus working as a carpenter.
Oh, yeah.
He was the Son of God, yet he still diligently worked with his hands.
That's such a powerful point.
It shows us that our work doesn't have to be, you know, something grand or glamorous to be meaningful.
Right. It's about being faithful in whatever you do.
In the everyday moments.
And that faithfulness can be expressed in so many different ways.
It doesn't matter if you're a CEO or a stay-at-home parent or a student or retired.
We all have the opportunity to share God's love and make a difference.
Right.
It makes you realize that even the smallest things can have an impact.
Absolutely.
But how does that work?
Yeah.
How can we ensure our actions are truly reflecting God's love?
Well, that's where this amazing idea of unconscious influence comes in. It suggests that you're always radiating an influence, whether you realize it or not.
That's interesting.
It's like every word you speak, every action you take, even your facial expressions, they all send a message.
So it's like we're always leaving these little pieces of ourselves wherever we go.
Exactly.
Kind of like footprints in the sand.
Yeah, and those footprints can either lead people towards Christ or away from him.
That's a powerful thought.
It is, and the chapter really emphasizes this. These footprints, these small acts of kindness and service, they can ripple outward much further than you can imagine.
It's like throwing a pebble into a pond. and watching those ripples spread out.
That's a beautiful image.
But it also makes you realize the weight of our actions.
Absolutely.
Even the smallest things can have a huge impact.
They can draw others to Christ simply by the way we live.
Okay, so it's not about putting on a show or trying to be perfect.
Right.
It's about letting those ripples of God's love flow out from us
Yeah.
in our everyday interactions.
That's it.
But I gotta admit, sometimes I get so caught up in the busyness of life. You know, I forget to be intentional. I'm so focused on my to-do list that I forget to look around and see the needs of others.
I think we all struggle with that. It's so easy to get caught up in our own little worlds.
Yeah, it is.
We forget that we're surrounded by people who are hurting, people who are searching for meaning.
You know, thinking back to that idea of our lives as letters from Christ makes me wonder, what kind of message are my letters sending?
That's a powerful question.
If someone were to read the letter of my life, what would they learn about God?
The chapter really encourages us to think about that.
Would they see his love and compassion?
It's not about, grand gestures or preaching from a pulpit.
It's about those everyday moments.
It's about being present, seeing those around us through the eyes of Christ.
Asking ourselves, how can I show his love to this person right now?
That's it.
So it's about being intentional,
Yes.
even in those seemingly mundane interactions.
Like how you treat the cashier at the grocery store,
Right.
or how you interact with your coworkers.
Those small acts of kindness, those moments of genuine connection, those can make all the difference.
They really can. It's about letting our faith permeate every aspect of our life.
Not just compartmentalizing it to Sundays.
Exactly.
You know, I think sometimes we overcomplicate things. We think sharing God's love has to be this big, elaborate thing.
Yeah, we get caught up in the performance.
Maybe it's not about having the perfect words or delivering a flawless sermon.
Perhaps it's more about just being present,
Being authentic.
letting Christ's love shine through us naturally.
That takes the pressure off, doesn't it?
It does.
It's not about performing, it's about being.
And it's about remembering that we're not alone in this. We have the Holy Spirit working within us,
Empowering.
empowering us to reflect His love to the world.
So it's less about our own strength and more about surrendering to God's work in us.
Trusting that He can use us.
Even in our imperfections. But honestly, I still struggle with feeling inadequate sometimes. Like, what can I possibly offer?
That feeling of inadequacy, it's something the chapter addresses head on.
Okay.
It challenges us to step outside of our comfort zones,
To trust that God can work through us.
even when we feel completely unequipped.
You know, this makes me think of that quote, God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called.
That's a good one.
It reminds me that our worthiness comes from God.
From his grace and his transformative power.
It's not about our own accomplishments.
That's beautifully said.
And it ties in perfectly with this chapter's message of empowerment.
It does.
It's a reminder that we're all called to be vessels of God's love.
Regardless of our background or perceived talents,
It's about letting go of our limitations
letting go of those self-imposed boundaries.
and allowing him to do the impossible through us.
That's the key.
This whole concept of unconscious influence is really resonating with me. It's challenging,
It
but
is.
it's also incredibly hopeful.
It is, isn't it?
It's a call to live authentically, to be mindful of the influence we're radiating, and to trust that God can use our lives to touch others.
In ways we may never fully comprehend.
Exactly. You know, speaking of God's transformative power, I was really struck by how the chapter talks about our own personal transformation
Yeah.
through Christ.
It is an ongoing process.
It's not a one-time event,
It's a
a
journey.
journey of continuously drawing closer to Christ.
Allowing his spirit to work in
It's
us.
a daily surrender, a constant choice to abide in him and allow his love to shape us.
But let's be honest, that journey isn't always easy.
No, it's not.
There are challenges, there are setbacks along the way. You
Absolutely.
know, we're human after all.
We are.
We're gonna stumble, we're gonna
We're
fall.
going to face temptations. We're going to have doubts.
That's right.
But the chapter, it offers this message of hope, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It reminds us that God's grace is enough. His love is unwavering. He's always there to pick us up. When we fall,
It's like that image of a loving parent, always ready with open arms, no matter how many times we mess up.
exactly. And you know, that brings us back to the importance of active work. It's in those moments of surrender, those moments of reliance on God, that we find the strength to serve others.
It's not about just gritting our teeth and pushing through. It's about allowing His grace to fuel our actions.
Absolutely. The chapter, it challenges us to not give up, to keep pressing forward in our relationship with Christ.
Because the closer we are to Him, the more we can share His love with others.
That's it.
But I still struggle sometimes with where to even begin. You know, where do we find those opportunities to serve?
That's a great question.
And how do we know what God is calling us to do?
Well, the chapter doesn't give us a specific list, but it does offer some guidance.
Okay, so what kind of practical advice does it give? What can we take away from this that will help us live out these truths in our daily lives?
Well, first and foremost, it reminds us that our lives are meant to be letters from Christ to the world.
Letters from Christ.
Yeah. Everything we do, our words, our actions, our attitudes, it should all reflect His love.
So we need to be mindful of the message we're sending, making sure it points others towards Him.
Exactly. And, you know, the chapter also emphasizes that everyone has a part to play.
It's not about comparing ourselves to others.
No.
Or thinking that our contributions aren't enough.
Right. We need to let go of that feeling of inadequacy and trust that God can use us right where we are with the gifts He's given us.
So whether it's volunteering or donating to a good cause or just, you know, offering a listening ear, those small acts can make a big difference.
Absolutely. And the chapter encourages us to be intentional in our everyday interactions. Look for those opportunities to share God's love in practical ways.
Remembering that each person we meet is a soul that Christ loves.
A soul that needs His grace.
And we get to be a part of that.
We get to be His hands and feet.
This whole conversation has been so eye-opening. I feel like I have a much clearer understanding of what it means to live a Christ-like life. It's not about striving for perfection. It's about surrendering to God.
To His transformative power.
Allowing His love to flow through us.
I'm so glad to hear that. And as we wrap up this deep dive into chapter 9, I want to leave you with a final thought.
Okay, I'm ready.
What if we looked at every interaction, every encounter, as an opportunity to reflect God's love? What if we saw each person we meet, not a stranger, but as a soul entrusted to our care, a soul that Christ died for?
Wow, that's powerful. It really challenges us to see the world differently.
It does. And I believe that if we embrace this perspective, it can truly transform our lives and the lives of those around us.
You know, this has been such a rich and challenging discussion. I know it's given all of us in the Living Word prayer group a lot to think about.
I agree.
And apply in our lives.
It's been a joy to explore these ideas with you. And I encourage everyone to continue reflecting on these truths and to support each other as we strive to live them out.
Well said. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, everyone. Keep seeking, keep growing,
yeah,
and keep sharing His love.